Hi, everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And, of course, in the studio with me today, Kevin O'Donohue, director of the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Ben.
It's great to be back with you in the studio here and back on the air. And thanks to Reggie for introducing us, as always, the hardest working man at WBAI. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Last week, we talked about nostalgia. And it's a powerful thing, isn't it, Kevin?
I think it really is. I took a lot away from it. I was surprised because I was a little fearful of talking about it in the first place because, you know, nostalgia, even the word almost makes me cringe a little bit. I kind of fear talking about and going towards, you know, old memories and stuff. And we did talk about how life is really difficult. You know, even back then, even when, you know, we're tuning in or tapping into what we think is a happier part of our life, we can remember that even that time was difficult also.
I think inherent in that fear, Kevin, is the fear of change and the fear of moving on, the fear of transition, because it is a terrifying thing to so many of us. And because of that link, we wanted to go into that a little bit more, a little bit deeper today, and talk about change and transition and the difference between the two.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, Ben, because, you know, when you're nostalgic, you're actually focusing in on a specific memory or a particular thing, a particular period, a particular time. And when you're talking about change, you know, change is constant. Change is happening every moment.
Right.
All the time.
All around you.
Yeah.
I agree, Kevin. Change is pretty much just the nature of life and the nature of the world. You know, Ben Franklin has that famous quote on death and taxes being the only guarantee in life. He should have added change as the third thing that's a guarantee. Death, taxes, and change.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily in that order, right?
Right.
But change and transition, it's something that we want to delve into today. A lot of people might equate the two, right? They might say, well, what's the difference? A transition, it is a change.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty different, right? Change, like you said, Kevin, is a constant. It's the state of the world. Everything is constantly changing. Everything around us is changing. We are constantly
changing.
Right. We are always changing. The world around us is always changing. Our family changes. Our workplace changes. The industry we work in changes, right?
Gosh, everything's
changing.
Look,
radio has changed tremendously in the last 10 years. And our job as people who want to live a positively minded life and people who want to be, you know, functioning members of society is to learn how to deal with that change. And that's where the transition part comes in, Kevin, because transition is really what we do with those changes that are happening, how we strategize, how we navigate those changes. Transition is our movement through that change.
Yeah, I guess it's about also being conscious and aware and intentional when you're in a transition.
Exactly.
To use your mind, use your, you know, executive functioning, your brain, and guide yourself through a period of transition.
Well, okay. So, as you said, Kevin, it's about the proactive actions that we take. You can sit back and say, well, change is happening. I can't help it, right? I'm helpless to deal with this change.
Yeah.
That's one way to approach it.
A very bad way.
Well, let's not say bad. Let's just say a
from
way.
A psychological way.
Some people, that's how they approach it.
Yeah.
And it's a way of being helpless. It's a way of absolving ourselves of responsibility, right?
Could be.
It's a way of absolving ourselves of obligation.
Sure.
Sure. It's allowing things to happen on their own, as opposed to what you mentioned, actually taking charge in a proactive way. And so that's what I think transition represents. It represents the actions that we take within the changes that are happening, how we deal. Think about the changes that you've experienced just this year, right? Change in your family, change in with your friends, change in your job situation or in your workplace or in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things are constant. They're happening whether we like it or not. And I think the mark of a balanced individual is how they cope, how they tackle those changes. And that's the transition.
You're making me think that transition is like a transformation.
It could be.
Like you're moving through a process to become something else. So, for instance, if you're transitioning from middle age to age or post-middle age, that's a transition.
Sure.
Or you're transitioning. We could say you're transitioning back to school right now.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Kids are going off to college. That's a transition also.
I think the City University of New York's first day of classes is today, or it might be today. I have a friend who's in St. John's right now, and I think that's also starting this week. In any case, the week before Labor Day, right, is when school gets back, and then we have Labor Day, and then it's kind of like the transition back to business as usual, right? That's what September represents for so many of us.
And for some, it's a transformation. They're moving. Your friend is moving in. If it's his first year of college, it could be a transformation. I am now a different person. Whereas change is your ever constant. You're the person amidst all the change. And a transition is a process from A to B.
So let's talk about what makes it scary, Kevin, what makes it imposing, just from a mental health standpoint. Change is a challenge. Right, the action of transitioning is a shock to how we see ourselves, to how we view ourselves. Right, we spend our whole lives crafting this narrative, creating this persona, how we see ourselves, our ego. We're building it up constantly.
Mm-hmm.
We're defining ourselves.
Yeah,
and a change comes along, and that forces us to transition away from that, and it's almost like we're shedding a part of our identity through this change. And that's what I think can make it so scary. Because it's saying essentially, well, if I'm not who I thought that I was, then who am I now that I'm going to go through this process, that I'm going to deal with this? Yeah. And an example that comes to mind is smoking. It's one that we've talked about over the years on The Positive Mind. Quitting smoking is a huge transition, a huge change. That many people...
Well, to go from being a smoker to a non-smoker is a big, big change.
And Kevin, you just nailed it.
Yeah.
You just nailed it, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about identity and the narrative that we create around ourselves. Someone who smokes, they're not just addicted to the action of smoking, the chemical of the nicotine. They're also identifying as a smoker. Right?
The community of smokers.
If I smoke,
I belong.
That's who I am.
I
am a smoker.
Yeah.
And to give that up is not just to give up the physical chemical addiction, which is immensely challenging, but it's also to give up that moniker and that identity of smoker.
And I think that's what flips people out the most. I think that's what they have the hardest part with. Because, I mean, let's face it. We all want to feel solid in life. We want to feel like an identity is supposedly this solid thing. I'm a married person, or I'm a male, and I'm a professional, or I'm a this, you know, I'm a this or that. I belong to this or that club or company. People are comforted by that.
Absolutely.
And so when a change comes around and says, oh, I'm not going to be part of that club anymore, or I don't even know who I'm going to be when I get through this change or this transition, it's very, very scary.
So that's why retirement is a huge, huge struggle for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, those of us who are in the middle of our working lives and, you know, we're working our hands to the bone. We're waking up early. We're staying late. We're working really hard to make ends meet and to move up in the world. You know, a lot of people might think, hey, wouldn't it be nice to be retired? Wake up whenever, read the newspaper, brew a pot of coffee, and just kind of kick back. But the truth is, retirement means stripping away that identity that you talk about, that how I view myself, how people might view themselves.
Yeah.
And now, you know, that's gone.
Yeah.
And it becomes a question of now what? And we know, I mean, I know you work with a lot of retirees and you work with all kinds of people, but from you know, what you've told me about the work you do with retirees,
fascinating work.
A lot of people who are no longer working are really struggling with things around identity, and it can lead to all kinds of struggles, including alcoholism, which is elevated among retirees.
Yeah. And marital difficulties.
Yeah.
And I ask them always, I mean, how much time did you prepare for retirement? And they pretty much all say the same thing. I thought retirement was going to be nirvana. I thought, oh, it was this island out there in the Caribbean that I'd just be able to lie down in. And it's not that at all. I said, so let's plan. Let's have you talk to anybody about how you're going to enjoy your life now that you're not using your muscles and your brain and your mind the way you did for 40 hours a week.
And that's why transition, Kevin, is really a big part of it, is about redefining our reality and questioning that reality.
Yeah.
Right? When we think of our reality, we think of things that are kind of concrete or sure or absolute. Right? We're invested in that concreteness of our reality. But a change or a transition comes along, whether it's retirement or quitting smoking or taking on a new career or going back to school, like so many people are doing right now. That change comes along.
And back to work.
And it forces us to reevaluate reality and ourselves in the context of that reality. And that's why it can be so intimidating and such a struggle for us to change when we become very much complacent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if complacent is the right word, but inertia, certainly.
Well, safe.
Yeah.
You become safe in that. And, you know, you reiterate it to yourself when the good times are good. You're telling yourself, okay, I can exist within these good times, and I like myself when I'm in these good times. And then when the spark of anxiety arises, suddenly the good times are gone. Now how do I define myself? Well, I don't have my old resources. What do I do? So, you know, preparation is the solution to envision yourself through your change, through your transition. How do you want to be? It's going to be rocky. And what can you reach out to? What can you look forward to through the change, through the transition, how you want to be in order to get through it?
That's a great point, Kevin. Preparation is a very good word. I'm glad you brought it up, because we have a sort of outline of how change happens effectively. And it's a five-step process. It's very concrete. It's very, very straightforward. And I'd like to just get into that a little bit.
Yeah, but I thought you should tell a little bit about the history of this, because you're a non-smoker right now.
I am.
And talk about
if you want to get technical, Kevin, according to the health insurance companies, you have to have been quit for a certain amount of years to be considered a non-smoker. Oh. And I don't know whether it's like 3 or 5 years. I haven't quit for that long.
Right.
But, you know, I haven't had a cigarette in quite some time. And I will say that I didn't know about this outline for quitting smoking when I did do it. But subconsciously, somehow, I followed it to the T almost.
Right.
And maybe that's why it worked. Yeah. But this is a process that seems to work. It's been it's part of the so-called trans-theoretical model that's been developed through psychology research by James Prochaska and Carlo Di Clemente.
The motivational interviewing guys.
Yeah.
For those of you in the field.
This model basically assumes that people who are trying to make a change are already going to be in one of the following five stages, right?
Mm.
Somewhere along this spectrum. And that if we understand this spectrum, if we understand these phases, we can understand how to consciously bring about change. And granted, this model was predominantly developed for people dealing with drug, alcohol, or tobacco addiction.
Right.
However, it could be applied.
People who needed a change.
Yeah, it could be applied to a lot of things, Kevin. I think probably weight loss would be one that you could apply to.
Hey, it could be applied to going back to school.
Sure.
As far as I could see.
So let's start out with these steps. The first one is pre-contemplation. So thinking about it before you're even thinking about it, right? The pre-contemplation side.
Right.
Of it.
So around mid-July, you start thinking about going back to school, or mid-August.
So the pre-contemplation stage is where you might not yet even be consciously aware that a change is needed. So in the context of quitting smoking, pre-contemplation might be, you know what? Cigarettes don't make me feel good. Mm. You know, I don't like paying all this money every day to buy more cigarettes. Mm. I don't like it. I don't like the way I cough in the morning when I get out of bed. That's pre-contemplation. You're not even at the point of, I got to quit smoking. You're just saying, hey, you know, there's something that I don't like about my current reality.
Got it. Great.
Which leads us to contemplation. Great. Here's where the actual conscious awareness comes into play, right? There's not a commitment here to go into the change, but here's the awareness that maybe a change is necessary. So these are the people who might, you might call them on the fence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like what would, who would I be if I stopped smoking? I wonder, is that part of contemplation? Like, how would my life be better if I stopped smoking?
Sure, sure. And you know,
what would I lose?
Even having these thoughts and having this conversation potentially with a cigarette in their hand. Because they're on the fence, right? By definition.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but it's an important part of the process, Kevin.
Sure, sure.
And it leads us to the preparation, step three, preparation. Now, at preparation, we're not even changing yet, but we've sort of moved into the direction of accepting that we want to transition.
Yeah.
We want to take that step.
Mm.
So, in my experience, what I did was I said, on the first day of next month, I am going to be quitting smoking. So, you know, the last day of this month will be the last day that I smoke a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. But you didn't go into the preparation mentally, did you?
Oh, well, that is the mental preparation.
Well, that's just giving yourself a fixed date that I'm going to stop what I'm doing.
In a sense, though, I would say that that is a mental preparation because I've now acknowledged and accepted and declared to myself, and I did with others as well. I told the people in my life.
I guess what I'm saying is you're doing exactly what retirees do when I have them come in. They say, oh, I prepared for retirement. You know, I set the date, and when it came, you know, there it was. And then a month later, they're in my office. I say, well, how did your preparation go?
Okay, you got me there, Kevin. But I'll tell you what else I did to prepare. I'll tell you what else I did. I bought nicotine patches.
Uh-huh.
You know, I bought the nicotine gum.
Okay.
I got into, you know, meditation for quitting smoking techniques,
okay,
concepts, right?
Great.
And I did this for a whole month. And I knew, and I gave myself, it was about 4 weeks that I gave myself to be in that preparation phase. Now, granted, I didn't know about this five-step process.
Got it, right.
But I kind of followed it. And it's interesting because it tells me that they've really nailed something here.
Yeah.
In how they lay it out.
Very true. I mean, it's authenticated and it's used often in rehab centers.
So, yeah, in that preparation phase, they say that it's important to make action plans realistic and achievable.
Mm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And what I love, and we've talked a lot about, you know, 12-step programs over the years, one thing that I think, And I don't think that 12-step programs are necessarily perfect. They do work for a lot of people, so I don't say that they're, you know, that they're not a good thing.
They're proven to work.
They're proven to work for many people. They don't work for everyone.
No.
But the one thing that I really appreciate and respect about 12-step programs is the notion of one day at a time. It's a very powerful concept.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because in essence, tomorrow is never guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take care of what you have to do today,
mm-hmm,
and worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
But make sure that you're getting everything you need to get done today.
You know, but, you know, and this is important. I think you're right. And actually what you're telling me about how you prepared to stop smoking, these are strategies to get through the hard part, the one day at a time. You know, the nicotine patches, whatever else you did. So these are the things you do to get through the hard times. But what's missing, what's really missing, is thinking of yourself as a non-smoker, thinking of
Absolutely.
Yourself as a non-drinker.
Absolutely.
Or a non-substance abuser. And after a couple of years, or it's variable for everybody who's in the 12-step program, they start to reimagine or re-envision a future. So they're no longer stuck in the one day at a time. They have to remember, okay, it is always going to be one day at a time. I am always going to be an addict or alcoholic or a smoke. I'm always going to be that. And that's the beauty also of these 12 steps.
Well, ironically, Kevin, that's one thing that I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
Well, you because don't, language is reality.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not, you know, I'm not coming down on these programs.
But you haven't been an alcoholic, so you don't.
No,
I can't really say. So for them, the word always is a comfort. It's not a limiting phrase.
I just feel, Kevin, that our reality is so closely tied to the language that we use to describe it.
Yeah.
And so part, like I said earlier, part of quitting smoking successfully for me was being able to identify as a non-smoker.
Hmm.
You know, I'm not a smoker who doesn't smoke. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean,
you've tried before.
I've tried before, but so. That's true. But, you know, at this point, I want to be a non-smoker.
I got it. I got it.
So that's the only problem I have.
My point was that simply when the hard part gets done, then the brain and the mind kicks in to reimagine and to perceive and plan on this new identity that you've gotten used to and have experienced. And that's when things really, really open up.
Sure. And mind you, we've only gone through the first three steps of this five-step outline.
Yeah.
So just to run it down, step one, pre-contemplation.
I don't want to spend so much money on cigarettes.
Right. Pre-contemplation is just understanding, and we don't have to limit it to the cigarettes thing. It's just an example.
I'm just riffing off you.
Step one, pre-contemplation, basically being starting to have unconscious realization that we need to change, not even necessarily being able to consciously externalize it and verbalize it.
Right.
Step two being contemplation. Now we have the conscious awareness that, mm-hmm. you know, a change mm-hmm. is necessary,
mm-hmm.
whatever that change may be, whatever that transition may be. Step three, that we just ran down, preparation. Now we're actually taking real and concrete steps.
Yeah.
Getting ready mentally, physically, and emotionally for this transition.
Yeah.
Now we get to step four, and this, for so many people, is the hardest part, action.
This is where you need help.
Action.
This is where you need a buddy, a companion.
Action is where we put our plan and our preparation into action.
Yeah.
Right? We're starting to make these actual real changes that we've wanted to make. We're starting to use these strategies, whatever they may be. Right?
Yeah.
Whether, you know, it's being more active physically, being more educated on something. Like I said, I told people close to me that I was doing this, friends and family.
Okay.
I said, you know, on this date, I'm quitting smoking. I even told the guy that works at the corner store around my house. I said, listen, man, I'm quitting smoking. Don't sell me cigarettes. And, you know, he looked at me like I was crazy.
Right.
He looked at me like, you know, like I had three eyes.
Right.
But I said, no, I'm really serious. I want to do this and I need your help.
Yeah.
And
good.
You know, and I told the guy that I bought cigarettes from, I said, don't sell me cigarettes. I don't care how much I ask you to, please.
Fantastic.
Don't sell me cigarettes.
Fantastic.
So that's part of the action plan.
Right.
That's step four.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully at this point, you know, the action is working. Because it gets us to the final phase, which is maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Once we get over that hump, that difficult part, maintaining the change and the transition that we've made.
So I guess the transition happens through the activity. I mean, when you are not smoking, you're actually doing the action. So every time you're not smoking or not drinking or not taking your drug or not doing one of these bad habits, you're actually involved in the action process. You're doing it. The question becomes, who are you becoming as you're taking all these actions?
Yes, and the difficulty.
And who are you preparing to become?
Exactly, Kevin. Exactly. And what I wanted to add was that part of the difficulty around transitioning is we essentially have to mourn ourselves. We have to mourn the person that, you know, that we're transitioning away from that we used to be.
Right.
And that is so hard. I mean, as a smoker, I made friends because of smoking. I can be the first to admit that.
Yep.
Now, I don't think that smoking is cool. I don't think it's smart. You know, it's an expensive and destructive way to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, I met people strictly by the virtue of the fact that, you know, we were both in the same smoking section outside of a restaurant or what have you. I even, one of my girlfriends, who I wound up dating for quite some time, I met her because she was smoking a cigarette and I really wanted to talk to her and I had an excuse.
Right.
I went up to her and I said, "Hey, do you have a light?" And she gave me a light. And then we started talking.
Of course.
Now, of course. Of course, there were
so
other.
So you're mourning all of those losses.
Yeah.
You've lost access now to camaraderie with certain people because you don't partake. You're not using the thing that brought you all together in the first time. That's what, you know, that's what stick bubblegum's for. Instead of asking for a light, you go, "Would you like a stick of bubblegum? Can I hang out with you guys while you smoke?" How's that for preparation?
You are listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. We're talking about change and transition, and we have been using this specific example of quitting smoking, but we're not focused on necessarily quitting smoking. We're talking about change and transition at large. How many of you out there have changed careers? That's a really tough one. Mm. That is so challenging. You go from a place and a sphere where you know the world, right? You know the job, you have the skills, the knowledge and all of that. And you go in a completely new direction.
Mm.
And it's almost like starting over.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It is tough. And so I guess we're getting set up for the second half of the show. We want people to call us who have pick a difficult change. Sometimes going to another job is not a tough one for people. Sometimes it is, and I agree with you.
Well, I think it depends on the job, Kevin. I mean, if you are...
Or it depends on the person. Some people move laterally or vertically, right, whatever they call it, and it's just a change of scenery.
Well, it's like this. If you're a teacher at a public middle school, mm-hmm, and now you go to teach at a private high school,
right,
you know, it is a change, but...
It might not mean
it's
that
not
much
a yet. It's not a huge change. Like if you were, right, say you
if you went from being a teacher to a lawyer,
right, or if you went from being a bartender to a real estate agent,
So we want people who, who've made a big transition, a big change that they've struggled through, and to share with us how they got through it. We don't, we want to hear. Did you prepare? Did you envision yourself in this role? I mean, you might think that you had the energy. Oh, I have the energy to change from being a bartender to a real estate agent. And then you get there and you're like, oh, I don't have this. I just did no preparation ahead of time. So we want to hear, like, how do you get through this? And, of course, this whole idea came to us because we're heading into September.
Yeah, it's a big time
and
transition.
Everybody knows that that's a change.
It is a big transition because this is sort of the last week of summer. I mean, even if technically... I think summer ends on September 21st, right?
Yeah.
But this is really, culturally speaking,
it's
the last week
change.
Of summer. Yeah. We have Labor Day.
And I feel it. I mean, the sun went down like before 8 o'clock last night. And
yeah.
And it's dark at 8 now. That's a change. And the trees are changing.
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
But hey,
But I'm envisioning October.
We got to take it in stride and we got to learn how to deal with that. And we got to learn how to move past that. And I love October, Kevin. It's a beautiful month.
Yeah. Well, you're a Mets fan, so you're hoping for good things.
Well, I don't know if we're going to get good things this October, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, we're going to take a short musical break. Thank you all for tuning in. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. And we'll be back after this short musical break. Stay tuned.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I'd got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace time.
Ooh, yeah.
sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to her neck.
David Bowie here on WBAI Changes. That's what we're talking about today on The Positive Mind. And I want to remind you out there that we do need you to become a WBAI buddy in the name of The Positive Mind. It's important because we want to avoid certain programming changes which might lead to us being phased out. So if you'd like to continue to hear The Positive Mind, I ask you to go to WBAI.org and click on Ways to Donate, become a BAI buddy, make sure that you list The Positive Mind as your favorite show, and that will go a long way towards helping us continue to bring you these ideas, concepts, and guests. And today, yes, we're talking about changes, transition. It's a pretty timely topic around the end of August, early September.
Yeah.
As we transition back to the real world, back to hard work, back to school, out of vacation mode, out of summertime mode, back to regular schedules, no more early summer dismissal, as so many people have here in the city at various workplaces. And think about just the range of changes and transitions that you've dealt with. I mean, you ever have a best friend who got married? That's a huge change.
Yes, that is a big change. Or now the wife becomes the best friend,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, or a close sibling that got married. Or a child who got married.
Yeah.
That's a major change.
How about this? An empty nest.
There you go.
That has got to be the most dramatic change anybody has to experience. An empty nest. So, good. Before we take the call and we have Clifton on the line, we want to remind you, we need 30 buddies, Ben. We need 30 WBAI buddies in order to stay on the show. This has gone out to every producer. So we're asking you to, after the show, go on to WBAI and become a Positive Mind buddy, a WBAI buddy at the Positive Mind. Okay, thanks so much. And here we have Clifton. Clifton's going through a change. Clifton, nice to have you.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Tell us about your change.
Yeah, this topic is, you know, a great topic. It's so funny that, you know, just yesterday I was applying for a job. I actually put in an application, and as I'm on the online doing the application, I'm just wondering to myself and thinking, like, whoa, like, am I really about to do this? What happens if they call me? Do I take the position? And all these things are going through my head.
Good for you. Right.
The job that I'm doing right now is a job that I love. I enjoy it. You know, again, I really do enjoy that job, so I'm taking a step to basically taking a chance and saying, okay, this is the next step I need to take to better myself.
Good for you.
And it's a thing coming out, it's about coming out of that comfort zone, and it's a scary thing.
Yes.
But
yeah,
you have to take that shot. You got to, you know, go for it, because you never know what will happen.
So, Clifton, are you looking for this new job because, what, it's got better pay, better hours? What is it that's prompting you to leave a job that you love?
It's so funny. It doesn't have better hours. It's not better pay.
Wow!
It's just,
look at you.
It's just gonna be a different opportunity, and it's gonna allow me to grow as an individual and do something different.
Wow! You're looking for a better Clifton.
Exactly. Wow. You know.
Well, tremendous courage. I have to praise you for doing this. You know, a lot of people stay where they are, just like to be safe, play it safe. You're actually taking a chance, and you don't really have to. You just feel in your bones, I want to be something else. I want to be something more. And there you are. You're going for it.
And, you know, the thing about it, too, like, to mentally prepare for this, I'm just like, all right, you know what? Don't know what's going to happen, but at the same time, no matter what the outcome is going to be, it's up to me to look, you know, it's up to me to make that outcome be the best outcome.
Right.
So it's like, all right, the power's in my hand, regardless of whatever happens, I have to make it work.
Right. And look, if it gets difficult for you, just, you know, find a buddy, find somebody you can talk it through to, keep yourself positive and seeing yourself where it is you want to get to. Clifton, we have another caller on. We're going to take him. We appreciate your call.
All right. Thank you.
We appreciate
Thanks,
it. Nice
Clifton.
To hear from you. Bye-bye.
Good luck with the new gig, and that's amazing. It just someone, imagine that, Kevin, someone who just wants an opportunity to grow. It's a beautiful thing.
It's the best kind of change you can make. You know, you see yourself in a different place, doing something different, and you go for it.
It's a good point. It's an excellent point. So, again, number to call, 212-757-5555. We're talking about change and transition, and couldn't help but play that Bowie song, Changes. Just felt right, you know, in a year where we lost David Bowie. We lost so many people, so many talented and well-known people. Just yesterday, Gene Wilder passed, Willy Wonka himself, and that's a sad one. Saw an interesting quote online about change being hard in the beginning, messy in the middle, and beautiful in the end. And I like that a lot. Change is hard in the beginning, messy in the middle, and beautiful in the end. So let's go ahead and take another call. We're ready to take another call, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. So this is Dr. Jack Block. Mr. Block, nice to have you on.
Well, thank you. I'm a believer in WBAI and your program, and Amon DeMille was a wonderful person. But I would like to share with everybody, because I think people probably know something about me from my calling and always praising WBAI.
Good to have you back.
Retiring just this month, so my birthday will be October 3rd, and I'll be 85. And I'm retiring from William Paterson University. That's a state university in Wayne, New Jersey.
Yeah.
I've been in the history department for 24 years, just as an adjunct faculty member, because I retired before that from Fairlawn High School.
Well, what are you worried about in the change coming up for you? Is there any worry you have?
No, I have to tell you something exciting, and maybe I can inspire other people. I decided, that I wanted to do something for my students and something for society, and certainly something for reparations. So I started this Jack Block Scholarship Fund at William Paterson University. Mm. It's for minority students, and although the civil rights law prevents me from designating a certain group, everybody knows at the foundation, the William Paterson Foundation, that I've earmarked the funds that I've had in my life and what we'll collect.
You're going to be stewards
for Afro-American students, because I feel that reparations are important.
I
just want to mention the reason that I did that. When I was after I graduated from college at Queens College, it was during the war in Korea, and I had to go to the South. That was where I was stationed. Mm. And one night, some of the men who had Confederate flags said to me, "Jack, we're going to show you, a Brooklyn boy like you, what we are like in the South." And they took me to a tavern. And above the tavern was a tremendous horizontal sign, semi-horizontal, semicircular, that read, "For whites only." And I told myself that someday I would find a way of, in a sense, showing what I felt. And this the scholarship fund is my way.
Wow.
And
wow.
So I'm going to be very involved in that, and it's a transition. I've been involved in education since 1936, when I was 5 years old. Wow. I never left teaching.
Good for
and,
you.
So this is a real beginning, but the fact that I'm doing it with now the scholarship, I'm involved with scholarship and the four schools that I've taught in Fairlawn High School in Fairlawn and Bergen Community College in Bergen County, New Jersey, and Felician University in Lodi, New Jersey, and all of those institutions. I'm sending out a message for my former students to contribute.
Well, Dr. Block, that sounds very generous of you, and it sounds like you're using this legacy as a way of affecting change in the world at large, which is, frankly, it's incredible. And I do appreciate your call, and we do want to get the chance to speak with some other callers. But I want to thank you for the positive change that you're making in society. And
I love your program, and keep it up, what you're doing. You're following Armand's footsteps, and that's wonderful.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much,
that's
Mr.
kind
Block.
Of you.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good luck to you, sir. Enjoy your retirement, and... You know, it's another way, Kevin. It's another way to say,
so
hey, you know what? I want to change the world. It's a bigger way. We were more focused on making changes at the individual level, but Dr. Block has gone far and beyond that.
And he's got a clever way of making his transition in life. He's got he's setting up this foundation that he can monitor and steward and keep an eye on through his change to retirement. So he'll have an interest back in his old life to maintain some sort of continuity. I think it's pretty clever.
212-757-5555. We'd love to hear about changes that you've made or changes that you want to make.
So the hard part of all these five stages is the action stage, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that is stage four, as we talked about, that five-step outline to change, Kevin.
Yeah.
And yes, action is step four. And that is really the meat and potatoes of it.
When you were going through, do you have Buddy to help you through this, Ben? I mean, who can you count on outside yourself to monitor you and help you with your actions that you're taking?
Well, I think if we have close people in our lives, whether they're loved ones, friends and family, even coworkers, you know, people that we interact with and deal with on a regular basis, it's important to include them and involve them, right? Because it's very hard to do anything alone. And it's tough to ask for help. Asking for help is such a challenge for so many people, and such a challenge for so many people to just, you know, have the humility to ask for help. It's an ego thing that can be a real tough thing for many of us. So I think, Kevin, to answer your question, getting people in our lives involved, whoever they may be, and making them aware that, hey, I want to make this change.
Well, you have a treat, because here's the guy who's stopping smoking after 65 years. So how are you, sir? This is Kevin.
Pretty good. How are you?
Okay, tell us about your trying to quit smoking.
Oh, no, I'm not trying. I did it.
Oh.
I did it. I smoked from 11 to 65, and I'm a married man. I'm now 82.
All right. 17 years.
Yeah, I haven't had a drink in 54 years or something. It's been a long time.
How'd you do it?
Smoking was really tough. At any rate, I went to Nicotine Anonymous, and I was going there. I fell in love with the program. I fell in love with the honesty,
yeah.
You know,
Thank
no
you.
Dues or fees, and I liked that idea. But anyway,
okay.
After it was tough. I couldn't make any decision to pick a date. I don't even know if I wanted to quit. I didn't miss one day in my life of smoking, whether it was a hospital or a jail. I always smoked. You know, so anyway... One day after 15 years of going to meetings, and my wife went to the meetings too, she hasn't smoked in 40 years. So she said to me, "You haven't been smoking much." And all of a sudden I realized I hadn't smoked in 2 days and little change.
Wow.
And the rest is history. I never got a single urge. You know, I kept hearing them, people were talking about, what can I substitute when I stop smoking?
Mm.
What do you want to substitute poison for? You know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Just get it out of your life.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm 82. I stopped smoking, you know?
Yeah. And your life has been richer, I suppose.
Oh, it's been different. I'll tell you one thing. You know, I'm to be spared nothing now. It's quite a tranquilizer. It'll do anything. you want it to do until it doesn't do anything anymore, and it's just miserable.
Well, listen, we appreciate you calling. Tell us your name again. We'll look out for you calling again. What's your name?
Herb. Herb.
Herb, nice to hear from you. Thanks for sharing your success story. Sure.
Thank you, Herb.
So
212-757-5555.
So he had all those meetings that helped out.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is something about companionship through the hardship. And he did it. Good for him. There's another call. Hold on.
Look, all kinds of changes happening all around us daily. And even in the scope of WBAI, you know, BAI has been through many changes over the years. Even, you know, specifically this program. I mean, we lost Armand last year, and that was tough. And, you know, we dealt with it. We dealt with the change. And, you know, I got to say, you know, I do miss Armand, Kevin. But on at the same time, you know, it's incumbent on us to roll with the punches.
We've had a big change and a big transition. The show has been a big transition. So we have Ken on the line. Ken called us last week with his Spalding story. So, Ken, nice to have you back.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I look at change. There's two types of changes. There's changes we initiate, and there's changes that are foisted upon us.
Hmm.
That's true. Well, that's what we discussed at the outset was change versus transition. Change is what's happening all the time, Ken. We don't control that. But the transition is how we choose to navigate that.
Okay. And I also have a thing. I remember watching an old movie with Michael Caine in it, and he had the five P's. Proper preparation.
Keep going.
Yeah. Proper preparation prevents piss-poor performance.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Proper preparation prevents piss-poor performance. It's six P's, but well, who's counting? But anyway, that works for you, I guess. So, any difficulty?
Anything? I mean, even I didn't even think, but it does. It works for retirement. When you were talking about people not preparing to retire,
exactly. So, when you make a change, do you actually take time ahead of time, like Ben was saying, contemplating, thinking, preparing, mentally envisioning you in a different way? Just asking. I mean, do you identify with any of that?
Yeah, I try to go through what I think is going to happen. You know, we can't actually predict anything.
Okay.
But you can, in your mind, it's like going to high school.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Brooklyn Tech. I knew nobody in the school when I went to high school. You know, everybody went to the local high school, and I went off to Brooklyn Tech.
Okay.
And it was just, you know, it was completely different from junior high school.
Must have been a really tough transition for you.
And the same thing going to college,
okay.
Being on your own.
Where'd you go to college, Ken?
I went to Clarkson, upstate in Potsdam, New York.
Okay.
So and did you learn anything from those two transitions, from high school or college? What would you advise somebody who's going from a school where they know everybody and then they go to a school where they don't know anybody? What can you, in 30 seconds, tell us?
Just, you know, keep an open mind. You know, good things will happen if you think good things will happen.
Okay. Think good things. How do you stay up all the time? You called last week and you're still up.
I try. You know, I don't want to be down. It's not fun to be down.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, as Armin said, though, it's better to be down than anxious.
Oh, okay. Well, look, what does the word September do to you? Anything? You're going into September. I remember you were the stickball player. So
Football. Football starts. I think that eases the day's shortening.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And it's a change. That's why I like New York. You know, you've got the four seasons.
Exactly.
That's a good point. That is a good point, Ken. Well, thanks for calling us again. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to maybe get to one more call, so I appreciate your call.
Be well, Ken. Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. It would be great if we could hear from a lady. We've had four guys. Not that I don't like guys. I like guys, but I like multiple perspectives.
Right.
I always love to hear a female perspective if we can get that.
We have another call, but before we do that, let's talk about the last stage. You didn't do that. Let's close out today with...
Oh, we did. Maintenance.
Say a little bit about
maintenance would be, you know, after we've made that change. Maintenance would be once we've solidified our transition with the action, right? Step four that we talked about. And maintenance is work that's really focused on getting back to, you know, being in touch with that new self, that new identity, preventing a return to the old self, to the old unhealthy behavior. So coping strategies, support systems, whether they are people or programs, like some people mention. So maintenance, really, because, you know, once we've made that change, we got to make sure that, you know, we find ways to solidify it and hopefully keep it permanent. So that's what I would say our final change, or our final step, rather, would be. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about five stages of change that were laid out in the trans-theoretical model of psychology, developed by James Prochaska and Carlo Di Clemente. And this is a pretty influential and important model for dealing with all kinds of changes, but specifically dealing with changes related to drug, alcohol, substance abuse. However, it could be any kind of change.
We do have Corrine on the line. It's a gentleman. Corrine, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Okay, so you have positive changes going on for you. Tell us about
it. Yeah, definitely. Lots of positive changes. As I was saying, you know, right a second ago, you know, it stemmed from, you know, me going through a breakup and me trying to figure out, you know, like what the issues were, you know, me, you know, figuring out it wasn't necessarily a one-sided thing. It was a mutual thing as far as like issues, but I could see where the problems would stem from. Mm-hmm. And that just caused me to just, you know, to look through things, find ways to like reconnect with my ex and all that. And I found this gentleman. He's a life coach, and his name is Coach Corey Wayne. And I found him on YouTube, and you know, just listening to the things that he says. Like, I'm a firm believer in having evidence to back up, you know, certain situations.
Sure,
and
sure.
You know, this gentleman, he would like read people's emails as they written into him, and he'd answer their questions and give them feedback and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, some of the things that I would hear would just mirror, you know, my own life. So it felt good to like hear other, well, not necessarily good to hear, but good to know other people, not just me, you know, go through certain situations.
Yeah, so
and with that, you know, it led me into a book that he had written called The 3% Man, and essentially it talks about not necessarily being only 3% of a man, but, you know, the top people in any field is like about 3%, and they make all the money or whatever.
Sure.
So it teaches about being, you know, in that top percentage of a guy, so you know, your rights, your wrongs before they even happen. And even with that, it led me to, you know, get into meditation. And as of right now, well, actually yesterday, I started meditating and I started doing my my root chakra. And
all right, Corrine, but listen, we're running out of time. I just wanted to thank you for calling. Sounds like you're being proactive and you found a buddy, which is really an important aspect to this action maintenance stage. Well, you found this guy on YouTube, so I think that's been a big help for you. Anyway,
yeah, we're
going to ask you to call in again.
Buddy, but, you know, the whole meditation in itself and starting at the beginning and starting at the bottom and knowing what it takes, you know, that was my change. And but just finding someone who, I guess, had good advice is
exactly,
a good thing.
Exactly. So two tools, the meditation and somebody with good advice. Well, look, we appreciate your input, and you sounds like you made it through the change, made it through the transition, and we wish you well, and call us again.
Thank you, man. I'm still tugging, but, you know, I appreciate it.
Be well.
Thank you very much. We're just coming up on the end of the program. I want to thank all of our callers for participating, for giving us their thoughts, rather. And remember, you can drop us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. And you can call us here off the air. You can call us at the DeMel Center.
The
Positive Mind Center, newly christened. 212-757-4488 if you want to chat with Kevin or any of the therapists here that you hear on the air from time to time. I want to thank you again for your participation, for everyone calling in today. Reminder, become a BAI buddy. BAI.org, click on ways to donate, and become a BAI buddy in the name of the Positive Mind. We've already gotten a handful of you, and it's only really been that one time that we announced it. We'd like to get as many people as possible to ensure the future of the Positive Mind. And we'll be back same time tomorrow, right here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. And stay tuned for the Artsy Fartsy Show with Barika Edwards. All my
carry your cup in your hand and look around. He's a brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. I hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe, it's the springtime of my life. Stop and remember me at any convenient time. Find out my memberships while looking over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme. Drinking my vodka and lime, I look around, trees are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter.
Believe it's true. It's a light and tumble journey from the east side to the park, just a fine and fancy ramble to the zoo. But you can take the crosstown bus if it's raining or it's cold, and the animals will love it if you do. Do believe it,